50 years ago tonight, there was a riot going on in Cleveland. It was what many have called the first rock and roll concert. There were more people than there was space for them in the Cleveland Arena, and the concert was shut down. But not before it helped to set the mix of chaos and commerce that's come to define rock and roll. From member station WCPN, David C. Barnett reports.
The words rock and roll, both separately and together, were used as euphemisms for sex as far back as the 1920s. But in the early 50s, disc jockey Alan Freed started linking those words with the new rhythm and blues music he played late at night on WJW in Cleveland.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Moondog Rock and Roll Party. Another big Tuesday night rock and roll get-together with all the gang in the Moondog Kingdom. And away we go with Gil Bernal, picking up that tenor horn to blow it strong, and the spark label and the whip. Hey!
At the time, this was pretty radical stuff, a breed apart from what Cleveland was used to.
Tra-la-la, twiddly-dee-dee, it gives me a thrill to wake up in the morning to the mockingbird's trill.
You had stuff like, you know, Patti Page and Al Hibbler. It didn't do anything for me.
Bill Jenks was 10 years old in 1952, a white kid whose listening habits were dictated by what was on his dad's radio until Freed hit the airwaves.
Over the radio, he sounded like this mystic god kind of guy. He made the words flow. You know, he made it all right for white guys listening to black music.
How about it, folks? Pop a cab and live it up. As we enjoy your favorite blues and rhythm records, wherever you are in the old Moondog Kingdom, you'll hear them all.
Alan Freed's boisterous performance style was matched by an abrasive personality. Colleagues say he never missed an opportunity to promote himself. He took his show on the road, hosting teen dances at local ballrooms. Then Freed upped the ante and rented the 10,000-seat Cleveland Arena for what the self-proclaimed king of radio called the Moondog Coronation Ball.
60 minute man. Look here, girls, I'm telling you now, they call me Love and Dan. I'll rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60 minute man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The bill boasted the Dominoes, saxophonist Paul Williams, and guitarist Tiny Grimes, among others. The initial printing of 7,000 tickets sold out in a week, and another 2,000 were ordered. One of Freed's partners is said to have ordered even more to sell at the door. And to this day, no one knows exactly how many tickets were actually printed. The rapid sales caught the attention of Valina Minor Williams. Just out of college, she had landed a job as women's editor for the Call and Post, Cleveland's African-American weekly.
The idea of throngs of people going to hear music was always very exciting to me. And the Moondogger, he was a great personality.
Williams now lives in California, but she still recalls the throng of smartly dressed young people filing down Euclid Avenue, heading towards the arena. She says she was amazed at how the crowd kept growing, and so was Alan Freed.
I talked to him at one point that night, and this was before it all wound into frenzy, but he was so pleased that he was attracting this kind of audience, because for many people, the black audience on radio was gospel, and he was hitting another facet of it.
The crowd was still growing when Paul Williams and his Hucklebuckers took the stage. Moondog fan Bill Strawbridge was a teenager at the time.
When the music started, the folks outside was trying to get in, and the folks inside wasn't letting nobody in, because there wasn't no place to go. I mean, they were standing on top of each other.
The arena held 11,000 folks. You got that many or more standing outside.
Bill Strawbridge and his friends were in the back of the arena and didn't actually see the crowd outside pushing at the doors. But he says he'll always remember what he calls the rumble.
Those were big, heavy metal doors. When they start coming off the hinges, you could hear, when the first one fell, you thought that a bomb or something had gone off.
Hey, not now. I'll tell you when.
Valina Minor Williams' front page story for the Call and Post described the crush of the crowd in dramatic detail.
It was so tight, you literally couldn't breathe. It's a wonder no one was killed, because those shards of glass, when those things broke, people could have been impaled on them.
Police and fire officials soon arrived, shutting the show down midway through Paul Williams' set. By the end of the evening, only one person had been injured and five arrested for intoxication.
I can't tell you how deeply sorry I am for what happened last night.
It was a humble Alan Freed who took his case to his fans the next night.
And I would like to have your expressions of loyalty to the old Moondog here. Now, I'd like to have you do this for me tonight when you call in your request to our Moondog show on this Saturday night. If enough of you show and tell us tonight on the telephone that you're going to continue to be loyal to the Moondog show, we will continue with the show. If not, the Moondog program will leave the radio.
It's kind of like Nixon's Checkers speech, you know? It's like, if you don't forgive me, I'll leave the airwaves.
Music journalist James Miller includes Alan Freed's disastrous dance as one of 45 touchstone events in the history of rock and roll, as chronicled in his book, Flowers in the Dustbin.
Almost by accident, it establishes an association between kids running wild and music. Freed at first was alarmed by this, but he's the first person to understand that you can take something that seems like a disaster and convert it into a publicity triumph. And it took a while for the industry to understand how you could play the game of flirting with violence all the way up to real violence and still have the cash register ringing.
The Cleveland Arena is long gone, replaced by an office building. All that remains of the Moondog Coronation Ball are two black and white photographs. Though the images are dim, you can make out some of the thousands of young people. The men are sporting pinstriped suits and raked fedoras, accompanied by women in flowing evening gowns. Not exactly the image of rock and roll rioters. Valina Minor Williams recalls them as mostly orderly kids, celebrating a kind of coming out party.
People, I think, thought they were going to be able to dance, and then there would be chairs where they could go sit down, like a big public dance. But they would go, and this was danceable music, a good beat.
The man behind the Moondog Coronation Ball, Alan Freed, died in 1965, long since discredited by another rock and roll controversy, the payola scandals that began to sweep the radio industry in the late 1950s. For NPR News, I'm David C. Barnett in Cleveland.